This is News in No Time, Ed Gordon. On today's roundtable, the president's primetime address and a surprise verdict in Birmingham. Joining us today from our New York bureau is Michael Myers, executive director of the New York Civil Rights Coalition. At NPR in Washington, Yvonne Bino, author of Stand and Deliver, Political Activism, Leadership, and Hip-Hop Culture. And at member station WCLK in Atlanta, George Curry, editor-in-chief of the National Newspaper Publishers Association News Service. All right, folks, we heard from the president last night, Michael Myers. I asked this of Juan Williams. How much do you believe that the president put his finger in the dike and stopped the water from coming last night?
It doesn't really matter. These polls are mercurial. They change. But polls don't vote. The people voted. This is not a parliamentary form of government. We are stuck with George Bush through 2008. He's not interested in his current image among Americans. He's interested in how the history books will perceive him and tell the story about how he stood up to terrorism. And therefore, he made the 9/11 link, although the commissions say there's no link with respect to the Iraq War and 9/11. But he makes it. It's an image thing. It's a photo op. And guess what? There's nobody in Congress. Congress is full of a bunch of wimps on one side and armchair war hawks on the other, and they will not cut the funding for the war, so the war will go on. And we will continue to have Bush photo ops and tele ops before troops who are commanded to respect him.
George?
Well, Bush's numbers continue, unfavorable numbers continue to increase, whereas more than half of the public right now disapprove of the job he's doing. Most of that is in large part because of the war, and I agree with Michael on this. Bush is trying to make a link between terrorism and our being in Iraq, and quite frankly, most people are not buying that. People are disappointed. They were misled. They've been lied to. They were lied to for the whole pretext for going to war, and we see that reflected in those numbers. And the speech didn't have any effect on that last night.
Hi, Ed. I would tend to agree with Michael from the standpoint that the polls have very little to do with the voters. The voters certainly did re-elect George Bush, and I think that we are stuck with this current policy. Frankly, I don't believe that the speech was had any intent to change minds. I think it was something that they felt they had to do to get out there and try to make some type of explanation of what was going on with the insurgency not being abated. But frankly, it was very vague. It was the same stay the course. There was no new information. And frankly, we keep getting away from the fact that we didn't go into Iraq with a conversation about stemming terrorism. We went in there because Saddam Hussein had, or we believed he had, weapons of mass destruction. So the American people keep getting this bait and switch, the razzle dazzle. We went in there one reason, now we're talking about something else. We're linking things that have nothing, no linkages in reality. So I think this was just more spin, and I think this is about legacy building and less about what is really happening in Iraq.
But he looked presidential. These American people, they are such dupes. They fall for the same publicity stunt time after time, the same empty rhetoric, the same sloganeering on both sides of the House and both sides of the Congress and both sides of the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. They fall for the same thing, and nobody speaks the truth. And the American people don't want the truth. They are dupes.
Well, also, too, I think it's the whole thing that we keep talking about. He says, well, we can't set a timetable. But I do think that we can certainly set some benchmarks of what success is. And he keeps straggling away from that as well. Under what circumstances, whether it's today, tomorrow, or 10 years from now, can we pull out of Iraq? And I think that
after
certainly
victory.
Would not undermine
after
our
victory. After victory.
Well, yeah, but what does that mean? And we haven't defined that even in a vague
term. It means he's the president, and he gets to decide.
George, let me see if I can take perhaps a lesser harsh view of the American people than Michael Myers did. But the idea that I do believe American people oftentimes, once a president is elected, to feel themselves perhaps rendered impotent in movement and ability to do something, even if they believe they have been duped. Do you believe that's the case right now when you talk about WMDs, when you talk about why we're at war, and many American people just feel like, oh, that's horrible, but what can I do?
I think the Americans or public was really had two bad choices in the last election, judging by their views. I mean, they didn't see a clear alternative in Kerry, and they knew that Bush had lied to them, yet they were unwilling to take that risk and that jump to the other side. I don't agree that they are totally dupes. I mean, that's what the administration is trying to play them as, but the numbers that show that they disapprove of the war, disapprove of Bush, show that they're not necessarily dupes, but the administration, like all other Democrats and Republicans, in the past, have always tried to have this orchestrated audience, as they did at Fort Bragg. I used to cover Reagan in the White House for the Chicago Tribune. He was the master at it. But in the end, the numbers are still there. I know American people are not duped by this. They're just concerned and confused and don't know exactly. Hold on, Mike. And they don't know where to go.
The numbers have changed. They're now in favor of the president or the president's speech. Look, the people get the government they deserve. Now, they'll have a chance to change course in 2006 elections. Guess what? They won't. You know why? Not because they've been duped, because they are dupes.
All right, well, that's enough of talking about the American people, Michael Myers. Let me move you along.
make sure they know that was Michael Myers and nobody else.
Let's talk about if one is going to continue and use a segue. There are some who will say that the jurors in the Richard Scrushy trial were duped by virtue of him being a, quote, hometown boy, if you will. Here is a man who was the CEO and held over HealthSouth for a $2.7 billion accounting fraud. He was on trial for that. And despite many, 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 many people coming in by virtue of witnesses suggesting that he was, at least if nothing else, aware of the practice, they could not find a direct link to him. But here is a man who walked away and frankly stunned many. I was in Birmingham not long ago, and folks believed that, in fact, Mr. Scrushy was going to be found guilty. George Curry, this is stomping grounds for you. Talk to me about this a bit.
That's right. I'm from Tuscaloosa, less than 60 miles away. I think this is, yes, it's a shocking verdict, and it really goes to the heart of Sarbanes-Oxley law, which says basically hold CEOs responsible, whether they claim to know or not know. But I think there was a problem with the prosecution here. You had 10 people who testified against him as witnesses, and 9 of them got home detention. Only one went to prison. Then you had all other kind of contradiction with them, so it became an issue of assessing the credibility of the people who were against him and his own case itself. And people just didn't believe the people who testified against him or felt they had motives, as is, to stay out of prison. And that's what it boiled down to.
Yvonne, let me go back to the idea of being duped, as Michael has suggested, the word for the day. But when you look at Dennis Kozlowski, when you look at Ebbers at WorldCom, when you look at numbers of, let's call them interesting accounting practices, we're finding out so many corporations are taking and, quite frankly, have taken over years. And then you look at the economy today, so many people being laid off and the like. What must the American people think when they look at situations like this?
Well, I think the American people look at this and say there are a few people at the very top who are leading lives of luxury, and the rest of us are struggling at the lower strata. But I want to go back to the jury verdict. I think that certainly we have to think about jury manipulation. When you go through the voir dire process, the whole point of attorneys is to get people on the jury who are going to be sympathetic to their cause, be you the prosecutor or the defense side. And frankly, I think that a lot of times when we look at these verdicts, it has very little to do with actually what the information was presented to them. I think jurors make a decision whether we like you or we don't. And in the worst situations, I don't even think they listen to the material at all. I've certainly sat in courtrooms and people were asleep are fading or in and out. And, you know, to me, I think that's problematic in terms of setting a case. So regardless of what your evidence is, if people have tuned out, well, they're going to make their own choices based on their own opinions. And I think we got quite a bit of this painting this guy as this great philanthropist, you know, him in the black church preaching, flanked by pastors. So I'm not sure whether the jurors that they pulled together would have been disposed to convicting him regardless of what was put on the table.
According to the Wall Street Journal, they interviewed those jurors basically said they weren't persuaded by that at all.
Look, you had an incriminating tape. The theme of my this show is not that people are duped. It's that people are willing dupes. You, whether it's in politics or the courtroom, people identify with the rich and the charitable. Mr. Scrushy, Richard, is rich and charitable. Especially black jurors and black voters. They identify now with the rich and the charitable, particularly if you can send money into their black churches. This was a hometown trial, a hometown jury, mostly blacks on the jury, and I the chief counsel was black, and I can now predict the cover of Newsweek or Time if they're going to be fair to the jury. The question will be, is he, Donald Watkins, the next Johnny Cochran, excuse me. I didn't mean Johnny Carson. The point is, don't be boring. Connect with the jury. Who cares about incriminating tapes? And to be charitable, to use that term, there was no direct evidence tying Mr. Scrushy, Richard, to the fraud. But the people, I believe, whether it's in politics or the courtroom, are willing dupes.
Well, I really think we have to be careful here. I really think we're being too cavalier in terms of this jury process here. There was a lot of evidence. They deliberated for 21 days. Obviously, if they wanted to do a quick verdict, they could have done it sooner than that. And the problem was, I think, with the witnesses against Scrushy. I mean, they were people who testified against their boss. They had motives. And you also have this problem of prosecutor piling on charges, and they end up acquitting him of all of them. And so I think this is a serious case that was seriously deliberated, and the prosecutors just did not prove their case.
But and George, perhaps part of the problem was their inability to provide any evidence that directly linked Scrushy to fraud.
Well, I said that. Yeah, so what? They still were duped. Willing dupes.
All right, let's move along to a question of Texas justice. I mean, we hear that all the time, but here may be a bellwether for that state. Texas has decided to allow jurors in capital cases to choose life without the possibility of parole instead of death when they see fit. So when you take a look at this, and we should note this is Texas becomes one of 36 other death penalty states that have this life without parole option. When you take a look at this, is this saying that we are now looking at the possibility, I won't give any timeline here, but the possibility of the elimination of the death penalty altogether, George Curry?
No, I don't see it as a possible elimination. People want more flexibility. They didn't want to necessarily just send people to the execution because, as we've seen in recent years, a lot of these people end up later on, you find out that they were innocent. And so they want the option of make sure you keep people off the streets forever, but at the same time not execute them. And that's been in keeping with the general public opinion polls on the subject.
Yeah. Public opinion polls. I don't think you're going to have a question of eliminating the death penalty based on public opinion polls or, for that matter, elections. I think most people believe in the death penalty. I personally don't. But whether or not you have life
shocked,
sentence,
Michael.
Well, I don't know why you're shocked. I have never believed in the death penalty. Whether you have the option of life without parole or life with parole in terms of a sentence, when you give a person life as a sentence, without any possibility of parole, then that person has nothing to live for. You eliminate the possibility, the option of rehabilitation, of some sort of rebirth or some sort of understanding that one has changed. Other than maybe DNA or new technology that will say this person was really innocent and has been convicted and put into prison on false pretenses, that person rots in prison. Now, this is what the American people apparently want. They want people to rot in prison, never to be able to be rehabilitated. That's what.
But Michael, you don't necessarily see our prison system as one that rehabilitates. I mean, let's be realistic.
The current prison system, we're not going to talk about that because we don't have enough time. I'd rather talk about the other dupe, the Stella who lost her groove. But the prison system itself doesn't rehabilitate. But there's possibilities that people can be rehabilitated. We know lots of examples in history of people having been rehabilitated. And therefore, I like to keep the options open. I don't think people should be consigned forever to life without any possibility of parole. I'm against
it. I disagree with
but
you.
But those
I
are two separate.
There are people like Charles Manson should rot in prison. I disagree with you. There are people I think should rot in prison.
Yeah, and those are two separate issues. One being whether or not we have the right to impose a death penalty on anybody, given the fallible nature of our jurisprudence and our justice system. But rotting in jail, I mean, if you've committed a crime, then, you know, we're not sending you to Club Med. I mean, I don't know what the alternative should be. We talk about rehabilitation, and certainly that's about prison reform, but that's a separate issue. I think at this point, this is about flexibility, giving jurors the right to make that call, especially people who do not believe in the death penalty. And also, too, it eliminates the possibility, if this is given, that if there is some new technology, if there's something else that can free someone, that they're alive to be a beneficiary of that. So the concept of rotting in jail, I don't think that has a lot to do with this particular issue.
Mm-hmm. All right. And George, let me ask you very quickly in terms of just the elimination of the death penalty. So many people have attempted to get this, get that. You don't see that as a possibility, a true strength in movement?
I don't see that happening in this country. We are the only industrialized country that really have this stringent, I mean, even to the point of executing juveniles, I mean, and trying them as adults. We have a long way to go. I don't see it changing. I think this is an alternative.
Unless there's alternative a change
that,
the Supreme
hold
Court.
Hold on a second, Mike. This is not going to change that. I just don't see the American
real
people
quick
getting
for
ready
me.
Soon.
Unless there's a change of the composition of the Supreme Court for the better as opposed to the worse, then the United States Supreme Court could declare the death penalty to be unconstitutional.
All right. In New York, Michael Myers. In Washington, Yvonne Bino. And in Atlanta today, George Curry. I thank you all for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Ed.